This week is no different. And this one is, you better buckle up. I probably have at least three times. There's a step right there. I just about fell, Carrie. And if I fall, you're catching me, right? At least three times that the Lord has, in different parts of the message, redirected me. And so I'm excited about it. This week we're walking through Luke chapter 6. If you don't know what a parable is an earthly story or illustration that conveys a spiritual truth that Jesus was trying to get across to those that he was teaching and speaking to, as well as us. And so Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 49 is our text this morning. If you, it should be on the screen, but if you have your Bibles, open up to there. And we're going to start in verse 43. If you're ready, say, uh-huh. All righty. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. I don't know what a bramble bush is. It must be something over there, but stickers, thorn bushes, whatever. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say, everybody say, what you say, flows from what is in your heart. There we go. Verse 46. I'll read this one by myself now. You guys did good. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. You see the same story in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, in Matthew 7, but in verse 20 it says, yes, just as you can identify, this is going back to the first, yes, this, you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Has anybody ever heard of an old expression that goes like this? Just because you call a thing doesn't make that thing a thing. Anybody ever heard that before? It comes out of a story about Abraham Lincoln. And the story is told of once when Abraham Lincoln asked an audience, how many legs does a dog have if you count the tail as a leg? When they answered 5, Lincoln told them that the correct answer is 4. The fact that you call the tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. Now that's a truth, right? That's the truth. And the truth is, a name isn't everything, right? A name isn't everything. This is especially true when we are talking about Christianity. You can call yourself a Christian all day long, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're a Christian. Now, you've heard me say this probably a bazillion times, but just because you call yourself a Christian doesn't make you any more a Christian than walking into McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger. Right? And Jesus is going to really explain this and point out some things. And here's what makes you a Christian. Believing in Christ and living in Christ is what makes you a Christian. Okay? So in our parable, Jesus discusses the difference between profession and practice. The premise is this. Following Jesus is not determined by us calling ourselves a Christian. Okay? But how we live out our lives does. The words, we saw that. The words that come out of our mouth are an overflow of what's in our heart. Right? And so Jesus is going to be dealing with this stuff. And the true evidence of conversion and faith in Christ is the way we live. Plain and simple, the way we live. So turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you ready? Well, are you ready? I say, buckle up, keep your arms and hands inside the ride, and let's enjoy it. Right? It's going to be a good one. So the first evidence that we give, that is given, is our fruit. Our fruit. Verses 43 through 45 says, a good tree can't produce, can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Right? A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury. I love that translation. The treasury, the storehouse, the storeroom of a good heart. And the evil person produces good evil things from the treasury of the evil heart. And what you say flows from what's in your heart. So, let me illustrate it this way. I have a tree. Right? I have a tree. I don't know what kind of tree it is. It's a tree. And it's not even a real tree, but it's a tree. So say I put this sign on here. Okay? What's the sign say? I'm an apple tree, and it has a smiley apple. Right? I believe church should be fun. So if you're guessing with this, just ride with me. Does that make it an apple tree? No. Why? Because it's a ficus. All you people that know trees. Okay? Just because it claims to be an apple tree doesn't make it an apple tree. Following me? Okay? Does having a sign on it somehow magically turn it into an apple tree? No. Right? How do you detect an apple tree? Okay, well, let's fix that. Right on. I got some apples. Okay. Here's an apple, and here's an apple. Okay. And here's an apple. Oh, I got all kinds of apples, Joe. I'm going to put this one up here, because this one's a small apple. Got cute little apples. Got another... Woo! Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy! So it's got apples! Is that an apple tree now? Yes? Who said yes? Okay. Why is it an apple tree? It's not. Why? Just because it has apples on it, right? Doesn't make it an apple tree. Okay? It doesn't. It has apples on it, and it contains some good fruit. Okay? At least I think it's good fruit. You guys thought it was fake, didn't you? The rest of them are. Mama didn't make me no dummy. No. I've done a lot of dumb things in my life, but that ain't one of them. Okay? It has some good fruit on it. At least one. Right? Okay? But it doesn't produce good fruit. Picking up what I'm throwing down? Religion in the world is a lot like this. Okay? And it has some degrees of goodness. Religion have some degrees of goodness, but it doesn't produce real and good fruit. Because why? Anybody want to take a shot? It's not tapped into Christ. It's not tapped into Christ. Follow me? Jesus said in John 15:4, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you or I unless we abide in Him. Follow me? So what is God teaching here? He is teaching that if we're truly, truly, truly born again, we will produce the evidence of that fact. Right? good fruit. If you believe it, say uh-huh. Okay? So, can you see the evidence of spiritual fruit in your life? Don't answer out loud. That's something you answer to yourself. All right? Galatians 5:22 through 25 tells us what this good fruit is. I shouldn't have put that apple. Yeah, peel my teeth. Galatians 5:22 through 25. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things, Paul tells us. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Right? Now here's the crazy thing about it. This is probably an American thing, more than it is other countries. But in the average Christian life, we get really good at compartmentalizing things. Right? It's like, Jesus, you can have access to this room in my life, and maybe this room in my life. The living room you can have, because I want people to think that I'm doing all right. But not this one. Not this one. Not my thought life. Not my whatever it is you fill in the blank. Following me? That isn't producing good fruit. That's producing a good front, but not a good fruit. Right? So the first evidence of us being Christian, Christ followers, is by the fruit that's produced. Everybody say fruit. Okay, number two. Our faithfulness. Jesus then moves on. He has made the point quite clear that a name is not just enough, right? It's not enough. Just because you were born in the United States doesn't make you a Christian. Right? Then he asks a very hard and startling question in verse 46. And why do you call me Lord, Lord? And do not do the things which I say. Pow! Right? Drop the mic. This thing's making me nervous. Say bye, apple tree that's not an apple tree. There you go. Okay? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? What he's saying in essence is this. Just because you call me Lord, just because you give me the name of Lord in your life, doesn't make me your Lord. Right? We've talked about Lord and Savior, right? We say that I've made Jesus my Lord and Savior. And there's people that have, and I don't have any reason to disagree with that or disbelieve it. But there's a difference between being your Savior and being your Lord. Do you know the difference? Somebody share with me. What's the difference? Okay. Personal relationship. Okay. Every part of your life, right? He is Lord. He has full control, full capacity, full everything in my life. Being my Savior means I got my fire insurance. Right? That's not what Jesus died on the cross for. Totally. You following me? Obviously, he's saving for, he died for to pay for our sins that we can never pay a debt, right? Get that. But it's more than just that. Okay? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Okay? Now, here's what I want to picture. Everybody put on your imagination caps with me. And picture a master and a servant. Okay? A master and a servant. And the master commands the servant to go and perform a task to which the servant agrees but does nothing. Let me illustrate it this way. Bridget, will you help me? Come on up here. Okay, stand right here. Everybody say, hi, Bridger.
Hi.
Okay, now here's what I want you to actually come over here. So. All right. Okay, you're the master. Yeah. And I'm a servant. I want you to command me to go get a glass of water for you. Command me again. Okay. Okay. See what's happening here? Right? He's commanded me to do something, and I'm not doing it. Okay? That's a lot of what happens in our own Christian lives when God asks us or tells us to do something. Okay, God, yeah, I'll do that. And then we don't. Picking up what I'm throwing down? Sweet. High five. Give him a round of applause. You could have been bossier. You could have been bossier. A good master would have been bossier. Alright? There are multitudes and multitudes of people in this world who are called Christians. But they are not. They are not because they do not follow Jesus. They do not do what He said. Oh, but pastor, aren't you being judgmental? Aren't you being harsh? Let's see what Jesus says. You ready? John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, what's it say? Keep my commandments. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abided in His love. That seems pretty cut and dry to me, don't you think? If we love Him, we'll do what He tells us to do. We'll do what He asks us to do. Right? Apostle John said it even more bluntly in 1 John 2:4. He says, he that says, I know Him and keeps not His commandments is a what? And the truth is not in him. Right? Just because. Now here's the crazy thing about it. How often are we guilty of that? We're all guilty of it at some level or another. Right? We're all guilty of it. How often do we not do what He asks us to do? How often? How often? The third evidence and our final evidence that Jesus gives us that true believers have more than just a name is our foundation. Our foundation. Verses 47 through 49. I will show you that it's when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays a foundation on a solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and does not obey is like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap. Right? I would think that a foundation, I'm not a builder, I'm not a contractor, and Steve's not here today, he's our resident contractor. But a foundation is really, really important on a house, wouldn't you agree? Right? I found this story that took place several years back. The news made us aware of a tremendous tragedy that took place in California. A multi-million-dollar home was built in a great location near Los Angeles, California. And this spectacular home sported a fantastic view of the Pacific Ocean. With oversized rooms and ultra-modern conveniences, it was the very epitome of luxury. But one day, this humongous home was belted by a winter storm and was sucked into the sea. And the reason was it was built on a shoddy foundation, on a cliff, too close to the ocean. And it was destroyed. Multi-millions. Okay? Like I said, if you don't know, the foundation of a building is a very vital one, right? And this parable reminds me, it actually takes me way back to when I was a little kid in Sunday school. It reminded me of a song. A wise man builds his... Keep singing. Remember the sign? Yeah. There we go. Well, you guys are good. Thank you. Fabulous. Good job. Right? Once again, we see visual proof that a name is not enough. Okay? The Leaning Tower of Pisa. We got that picture back there. There it is. You've all heard of that place, right? Leaning Tower of Pisa is going to fall one day. And the scientists travel yearly to measure the building's slow descent. And they report that the 179-foot tower moves about 1/20th of an inch a year and is now 17 feet out of plumb. I think if I was leaning 17 feet, I would fall. But that's a picture of it. They actually have expected it. They expected by 2007 that it would have fallen and busted down that restaurant right there. But it's still there. But it's still leaning, right? Now here's a crazy fact about the word Pisa. Anybody know what that means in the Greek? It means marshy land. Who'd have thunk it, right? Marshy land. And that kind of gives us some clue why the tower began to lean even before it's completed. Okay. Also, its foundation is only 10 feet deep. It's 179 feet tall, but only a 10 foot deep foundation. Okay. So let me ask you again about the foundation of your life. What is the foundation of your life built on? What is it built on? How deep is your foundation? How deep? Now think about this. Just because you grew up in church, maybe, and you memorized the scriptures that you were taught in Sunday school, and all that stuff, it doesn't mean that you have a firm foundation. Right? It doesn't mean it. It doesn't mean that you're solid in your faith. I remember growing up, I grew up in church, and I went to Royal Rangers, I went to Sunday school, I sang songs like "A Wise Man Built His House Upon," it was a horrible sound, but I sang it. Actually, it was good when I was a kid. I had a sweet voice when I was a kid. Life happens. But, I memorized, I went through Royal Rangers, which is a Christian scouting program. I went all the way through it. I got my gold medal of achievement, my gold and silver buffalo, which is the highest achievement you can get in Royal Rangers. I was all that in a bag of chips. But my faith wasn't my faith. It was my parents' faith. I did church because they made me do church. My dad, German-Irish. That shouldn't be go without saying, but he was, man, disciplinarian. You will go to church. Well, every time the church doors were open, I was in there. Sorta. Well, sorta. As soon as I turned 18, booked it. Man, I wanted grass was greener over there. They're having fun. What they think is fun. Even the Bible says that sin is pleasurable for a season. If it wasn't pleasurable, then nobody would sin. Right? And I didn't have a strong foundation. Now, the scripture does say that when you raise your kids in the ways of the Lord, they will not depart when they're old. And I'm a firm believer of a praying mama. My mama prayed me back. There's no question in my mind. But my foundation was weak. Picking up what I'm throwing down? So just because you grew up in church, just because you know John 3:16 and a couple other scripture verses doesn't mean that your foundation is on solid rock. Okay? You got to understand that. It's important that our foundation is deep and it is strong and it's not weak. So let me wrap this up a little bit this morning. You see, everyone has some kind of foundation in life. Every one of us have a foundation in life. But only one foundation will last. And that's the foundation on Jesus Christ, our rock. That's the only way. You got to hear this morning. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let me look at 2 Timothy 2:19 really quick. It says this, and it says this to all of us. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands, having this seal that the Lord knows who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So this passage of Scripture tells us two things, two indisputable statements. The first one is this: God knows those who have a foundation in Him and those that don't. God knows. And the second one is, those who claim Christ as their foundation are expected to what? To depart from iniquity and wickedness. We're to run from it. We're to get away from it. That's not living for Jesus. Picking up what I'm throwing down this morning? Do you have Jesus as your foundation? And if you do, are you allowing the Spirit of God to transform your life? Because that's the only thing that matters, is that foundation. How do you strengthen your foundation? By getting in the Word of God. By allowing the Holy Spirit of God to begin to change you from the inside out. Now, there's certain things when you accept Jesus as your Lord, there's certain things that just happen, I think. Not everybody's the same way. But when I was running from God and I was bouncing in bars and I was beating people up and I was working for a drug dealer, I was an icky person. And I had a mouth that was worse than a drunken sailor. So I hear. I don't know, I've been around a lot of drunken sailors, but it's an expression. And when I accepted Christ into my life, there were certain things that just I had no desire to do anymore. None. And there were some other things that I had to actually work on and discipline and allow the Holy Spirit to work on. And getting in the Word of God and reading, and not just reading it, but doing it. My foundation started getting deeper and deeper and deeper. But you gotta get in the Word. You've gotta get in the Word. You gotta know God's Word. You wanna know more about God? Here it is. He gave you a book to know Him better. He gave you a book. 66 of them, to be exact. Right here. To know who God is and what He expects of us and how much He loves us. The whole thing. It's right here. And you're not going to get it into your heart and your soul and your mind by sticking it under your pillow and sleeping on it thinking osmosis is going to get there. It's not happening. We can't love Him. Did you hear that? Let me go back here. Let me read this scripture. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That seems pretty black and white to me. If you love Him, then you will keep His commandments. Right? If you love Him, you'll spend time with Him. It's just like, just imagine, where are my married folks? Put your hands up. If you're married, put your hands up. Now, let me ask you this question. How did you get to know your spouse before they were your spouse, when you were dating? How'd you get to know them? Hung out with them. Spent time with them. Right? Talk, got to know them. But, right? The whole purpose of dating is to find out if you are compatible. Right? That's the whole point of it. You guys taking notes? It's about if you find out if you're compatible with them. If there's any spark in there, if there's any, right? I didn't know that Charity was going to be my wife when I first met her. Really didn't think it was going to be at all, because she's a country girl, cowgirl. And I worked in a country western bar so I could beat cowboys up. You talk about polar opposites. Her whole family are rodeoers and all this stuff. And I'm like, God, you got a sense of humor. But we spent time with each other. We prayed with each other. And God just said, that's who you are. Right? It's no different than our relationship with Jesus. How do we expect to get to know Him? How do we expect to build a foundation? How do we expect to grow more in love with Him if we're not spending time? How? It's impossible. Right? And I would assume that every one of us in here would call ourselves a Christian or a Christ follower, but there's three evidences. What's the fruit? What's stored up in your heart? Right? Man, I love being around Christians. And first time they get mad, they're throwing F-bombs in every stinking part of grammar. That's the most versatile word I've ever heard in my life. It can be a verb, an adverb, a noun, a product, whatever. But Scripture says whatever's in the treasury of your heart is what's coming out of your mouth. Right? If you struggle with rage and anger, and that's coming out, that's out of this overflow of your heart. You picking up what I'm throwing down this morning? Jesus is not playing games. And you can't be mad at me because this is God's Word, okay? I'm not the bad guy. Neither is God. It's about what's coming out of our life. I love this. I love DC Talk. Anybody remember DC Talk? My favorite album was Jesus Freak. And there's a song in there that every time I hear it, it just wrecks me. And it's called What If I Stumble? And in there, there's a quote from Larry Norman. Anybody know who Larry Norman was? He went on with the Lord. He was saved in the 70s in the Jesus movement. And he was a rock and roll player. He sang his most well-known song is Why Does the Devil Get All the Good Music? But he's quoted in here to say, what an unbelieving world finds simply unbelievable are Christians who acknowledge Christ with their lips, but deny Him by their lifestyle. That's what an unbelieving world finds simply unbelievable. There's a difference between being saved and having Him as Lord of your life. There's a difference. What's the difference? It's in the fruit of our lives, right? The fruit. And then it goes about our faithfulness. Our faithfulness is when God asks you to do something or He commands us to do something, we do it. We do it. It's simple. It's simple. It's not always easy, but it's simple. And the third is our foundation. What is our foundation built on? What are you building your foundation on? Let me read this scripture. James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. Understand this. Did anybody know that James is Jesus' little stepbrother, his younger brother? All right, James is. He's a stepbrother, half-brother, right? Because he wasn't from God. But this is Jesus' little brother talking. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce... Everybody say produce. The righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and the evil in your lives and humbly accept the Word of God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Bow your heads with me. I know this was a pretty tough word. And I'm learning really, really fast that Jesus really doesn't play games when He's teaching us stuff. And it's not what we eat, but what we digest that makes us strong. not what we gain, but what we save that makes us rich. It's not what we read, but what we remember that makes us learn. And it's not what we preach, but what we practice that makes us Christian. Again, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. So this morning, as you're sitting here before God, ask yourself, what is the fruit that you are producing? What is the fruit that you're producing? Is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? Are you being faithful? And when you're reading the Word of God and it's in, and God says, hey, I want you to do this. If the Word of God tells you to do something, do it. Being faithful to Him and building your foundation. Building your foundation. I love reading the Psalms. I love King David more than just because we share a name. But I love his heart. If you know the story of David, you know that he was a liar, a murderer, an adulterer, but he was the only one that has ever been said that he was a man after God's own heart. And I believe it because he knew how to worship and he knew how to surrender himself and say, God, search my heart. Create in me a new heart. If there's any wickedness in me, point it out to me so I can deal with it. He was a repentant man. Repentant. So, as we close our time this morning, we're going to sing a closing song. Here's what I would just ask. What's God's Spirit speaking to your heart about right now? What is He speaking to? And it could be one of three of those things, or it could be all three. But here's what I want to do. We're going to sing this closing song, but I want to encourage you to really allow God's Word and His Spirit to just stir inside of you. And if there's something that you need to deal with God, can I just encourage you to not leave here without handling it? And here's why. I mean, yeah, you could do it in private at home and all that stuff, and that's fine. But what tends to happen, as soon as you leave this building, you get back into common life, and then you miss a moment. Right? God's a God of moments. And if you are struggling in any one of those capacities this morning, can you just, I just want to encourage you, don't leave here without fixing it. Right? Asking God to forgive you. Asking God for His strength. We can't do it alone. We need Him. But it's us putting our faith into action and saying, okay, I'm not going to be just a hearer of the Word. I'm going to be a doer. God, I know that my fruit has not been good. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse me. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Boom, clean slate. You can start over. But then you walk it out. You get in the Word of God. You get in a life group where you can grow. And like iron sharpens iron, Proverbs says, this is what these things are for. It's for community, for encouragement, for accountability, but to grow in the Word, to grow as a family. Amen? Stand with me as we sing with the team. Let me just say a prayer really quick. And then we'll see. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Word. I know that wasn't a feel-good message. But Lord, I spoke what you put on my heart to speak. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would begin to do something in our hearts that we would not leave here today the same as we came in. God, I pray that your Spirit would begin to just work in our hearts and begin to transform us. Lord, rearrange the furniture in our living room if you have to. We love you. I thank you for your love for us. Thank you for pursuing us and cleaning us. In Jesus' name, amen.